live from the Oxygen Community Studios. Happy Wednesday to you. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show.
Wednesday already, huh?
Yeah, Wednesday already.
Man.
Draft is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. The Phoenix Suns wrapped up their season last night. Tip of the cap to Jamal Crawford. The 39-year-old put up 51.
Ended the season on a nice note.
Yeah, he did.
Good for Jamal.
He really did. Probably won't be back next year, but he ended the season on a very, very nice note. There's no doubt.
So much respect for him as a player. I did not think he'd have a whole lot left in the tank at 39, but he's still capable of helping. So I hope he plays again next year. I don't think it'll be with the Suns. I don't think he'll come back here, but I do think he could be somewhere.
There are so many, with the Suns season over today, they cleaned out their lockers, exit interviews, all that stuff. And obviously the future of Igor Kokoshkov, and we'll address that coming up in a little bit. We've talked about it a little bit today. Nothing's happened on that front. We don't think anything's going to happen on that front for at least a little bit. That's the most pressing, immediate question that needs answered, and it will. There are so many questions about this basketball team that need to be answered. Who's going to be their point guard? How are they going to get a power forward? Where are they going to get a power forward? Where will they finish in the NBA draft lottery? That in some ways, it's kind of hard to know where to start when talking about it. So we're going to kind of...
Okay. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with the glut of wing players.
There won't be a glut of wing players when this is all said and done.
And how they're going to achieve not having a glut of wing players.
Well, first and foremost, you got to determine whether you can keep Kelly Oubre or not. Obviously, they like Kelly Oubre and Kelly Oubre likes them, but, you know, there is a price. I mean, if Kelly Oubre, I think if he could come in around that, you know, $14, $15 million range, then I think he'll be, if somebody offers Kelly Oubre $20 million a year, they might not be able to keep him because obviously there's other things that they need to do. They need to get a point guard. They need to get a power forward. There are things that they need to do. So, they're at about $9 million in cap space right now. They could get to a max contract with some things that they could do. They could get there. But I think the first thing is Kelly Oubre. Now, if they could keep Kelly Oubre, I think the preference is to keep Kelly Oubre and to keep Mikal Bridges, and then I could see them moving both Josh Jackson and TJ Warren.
In the past, we've talked about Kelly Oubre in terms of you have to keep him. You don't have a choice if you're the Suns.
I believe so.
You're going to have to keep him.
I think you do.
But now you're telling me there might be a threshold at which point they go, too rich for our blood?
Well, everybody has a threshold. I mean, yeah. I mean, what if somebody offers them a max contract? I mean, I don't think they play that game. If it's 4 years and $55 to $60 million, I think that they can keep him. If it's, you know, if that contract gets up to be about, you know, somebody offers 4 years and 80 something million, then I don't know. Then I would worry a little bit. I would question that, if they could keep him. So I do think that there's a number to keep him at. And I do think the preference will be to keep Kelly Oubre and Mikal Bridges over Josh Jackson and TJ Warren. I do think so. And I think there's value for those other guys, and you got to see what that value is. You could get off of TJ's contract. That could help you, if you make the right trade, that could help you create some salary cap space because you're going to want a little bit more to do some things. You know, TJ, they've got too many wings, and what they don't want to do, obviously, is just continue to play wings at power forward. They need a power forward. They've got to go get a legitimate power forward, not play one of their small forwards at wing. The other thing you got to think about, too, is remember this. If they don't get Zion or Ja Morant, it's probably a really good chance they're going to end up with another forward in the draft.
Great.
You know, so
wing player.
If they don't trade the pick. So if they don't get Zion, they don't got Ja, and they don't trade the pick because they can't trade it, you might end up with another forward. You're not going to reach for somebody, you know, at a guard who's the 12th best player instead of a forward who's the third or fourth best player. So it's very possible they could end up with another forward.
Boy, it's funny. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I just based off of the conversations we had on this show, I would have been torn as to who to bet a house payment on, which wing player I was sure was going to return next year, Mikal Bridges or Kelly Oubre. Now, based off of what you're saying now, I feel like there's no debate as to which wing player I should put my money on to be a sure thing to return. It's Mikal Bridges. I mean, that's the one guy I based off of what you're telling me right now, the fact that there might be a threshold to how much the Suns can / will pay to keep Oubre.
All four wings aren't coming back.
But Oubre specifically. I mean, he was such a jolt in the arm for this organization. I thought that bringing him back was a non-negotiable kind of deal.
I think that they will bring him back. I just want, like, the only thing I'm just throwing in this little caveat, I want, if somebody offers him, you know, a max contract or 20-something million dollars per year, now you got to think about it.
Yeah.
Because you've got, like, okay, are you, and let me just play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Are you better off with Kelly Oubre, but you don't get the power forward and the point guard? Or are you better off with, you keep TJ and Josh, but then you go get a power forward and a point guard?
Well, you're probably better off addressing a couple of the other things.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's something you might have to think about. Like, if the Kelly contract prevents you from being able to do some of the other things that you need to do, like get a point guard, go get a power forward, you know, then are you better off keeping Josh and TJ and Mikhail and then not bringing back Kelly? I prefer to bring back Kelly and then try to move Josh or TJ.
But
they're not coming back with four. Those four wings aren't all
Kelly
back.
Oubre today talked about how the Phoenix fans have embraced him. This is sound from earlier this afternoon.
It's love, man. You know, the fans embraced me first. I remember the first game that I came back home and I had to speak in front of the crowd. And, you know, I was really nervous. I was like, these people don't know me. You know, I'm just this new kid on the block. But, you know, from that day forward, man, they embraced me with nothing but with love. And, you know, I plan to pay it forward 10 times over.
Josh Jackson from today says, I'm not going to worry about the upcoming roster turnover.
I mean, I can't worry about it. You know, it does make me sad sometimes when certain guys leave, but it's something that I can't think about or worry about too much. It's because I know it's a blessing to play in this league, and at the end of the day, this league is a business. Like, any team is going to do what's best for, you know, the organization, and that's completely understandable. So you just got to make sure you are what's best for that team. You got to be everything that you can be, and that's all we try to come out and do.
I think there'd be a trade market for Josh, decent trade market if you wanted to trade him. You know, there are teams now, what can you get back for him is the biggest question. I don't know. I mean, I could see, you know, the Knicks being interested or Sacramento being interested. I think there'd be quite a few teams that would be interested in Josh Jackson if they were going to trade him. But again, I think the first thing is to find out what's going to happen with Kelly Oubre. I mean, you're going to be able to keep Kelly Oubre or not, because if you keep Kelly Oubre, and Mikhail could play the two a little bit too. So Mikhail could play some two, he could play some three, but I think the preference would be to keep Kelly, to keep Mikhail,
yeah,
and then you move on from one or both of TJ Warren and Josh Jackson.
It's funny, not that this has anything to do with anything, but he did confirm today that he secured the trademark to Valley Boys. Kelly Oubre did.
Right.
Now, look, anything can happen. That guarantees nothing, but it would be an odd thing to do for him to trademark Valley Boys, presumably to make a line of merchandise off of Valley Boys, if he didn't know at some level that he was going to be back.
Listen, if he's not back, we offer him $1,000 for it, and we take it ourselves. We do a Valley Boys Jordan Bird, Burnsy and Me t-shirt right there. Sorry, you wouldn't be involved in that one. You wouldn't be a Valley Boy. Could buy the logo. Buy it from him.
Because she's a girl?
How could she be a Valley Boy?
Because I like the sun. Because
she's on the team, right? I mean, a girl can't wear a Valley Boys t-shirt?
Well, she could wear it, but I mean,
But I can't be an actual boy.
Could she be a Valley? Yeah.
That's fine.
Wow.
I don't need to.
Man.
I don't need Gambo to, like, physically transform.
It's good to know Gambo's still that guy from the 50s who will not let any girls into his little club.
What? You think Diana Taurasi is going to be in the Valley Boys?
I think
she's the damn president of the Valley Boys.
I'm telling you right now, if we're spending $1,000 of our money to take the Valley Boys moniker away, I'm going to sell that damn t-shirt to whomever I want.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't
boy,
sell
girl,
it to whoever you
in
want.
Between. I don't care. Everybody
just
gets one.
Who would be part of the Valley Boys, though? Who would be in there?
Besides you.
Anybody you wanted to be.
It could have been, Booker, Ayton, and Kelly?
Well, if that's the case, if it can be any three members of the Suns, he should hold on to the trademark and still just reap the benefits of whatever merchandise they sell.
Yeah, maybe. But then the minute he goes, Valley Boys goes to... I'm sorry, this song just cracks me up. This song, I forgot this was Sarah's song. Yeah, I forgot about
that. I'm
not
saying we can't sell her a t-shirt. We'll sell you a t-shirt all you want.
But you're just not allowed in the club, apparently.
Not in the club.
We'll take your money, but it's worth nothing to us.
Hey, that velvet rope? Yeah, we're putting it right in front of you.
Well, you guys make
no,
a big deal.
No girls allowed.
How are you putting Sarah in a club that's called Valley Boys?
I'd invite you to my Valley Girls Club.
Right, I wouldn't want to be invited to the Valley Girls Club.
Too bad, you're in it anyway.
I wouldn't want to be in it.
You're inducted.
We've got the Burns and Campo podcast. Subscribe right now.
I don't want to be a Valley Girl.
On your iPhone or Android, you'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Campo podcast is brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Everyone's waiting to find out what the Cardinals are going to do with the quarterback position. What is that doing to Josh Rosen's value in the trade? Plus, a rumor that's circulating about a potential workout for Kyler Murray. It's interesting. You're going to want to hear it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. American woman,
feel it for me. You must learn. It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Jordan Schultz is an ESPN insider analyst. He's co-host of a variety of podcasts on ESPN. He's a correspondent on a new ESPN Plus show. We've cited his work before on this show. Here's the Knowledge Drop today from Jordan Schultz. Just dropped this a little bit ago. Kyler Murray is visiting the Washington Redskins 1 week from today, April 18th, according to a source. Now, why would Kyler Murray be visiting a team with the 15th pick overall in the NFL draft?
Because they're moving on up.
Why would Kyler Murray be visiting with Washington?
There's no way Kyler Murray's lasting to the 15th pick.
Of course not. Of course
not. I mean, Washington could tell his agent that, look, we're looking to move up in the draft. Shit. And if the Cardinals don't take you at one...
Top five TV theme song of all time. Top five.
Well, first of all, has anybody in there ever seen The Jeffersons?
No.
Sarah, no. Jordan?
No.
Of
course.
You've never seen The Jeffersons.
Familiar with what it is, but never watched an episode.
God, it was a great TV show.
When did it leave the air?
I think it was on...
God, it was a great television show.
I'm gonna guess like 78 to 85.
Yeah, 71.
Last to 85?
I'm guessing. I don't know.
Oh my God, how did you almost got that? The Jeffersons is an American sitcom broadcast on CBS from January 18th, 1975 to July 1985. It lasted 11 years.
Bang.
Wow.
Boom.
Does he get a lunch for that one?
That's good.
Boom. Almost nailed it to the day, goodness sakes.
He was actually dating girls and playing ball while he was watching TV shows all day long.
In 1975, you were playing ball and dating girls?
Yes.
How old were you in 1975?
Nine.
Okay. Shut it. You were not.
I think
you were playing ball.
Named Charlene.
Yeah. Hold on.
Stirring it up at the tetherball court.
Damn right.
like a week or two ago, you were talking about how girls still had cooties until you were like 14.
Okay, but it didn't have to be like
which eight. Is it,
it lasted until 85. Okay, 85 was already out of high school. It was 11 years, or maybe the first couple of years, the Jeffersons were on. I might have watched it. That's why I know it. But after that, I was...
You're a national treasure, Gambo. You really are. Kyler Murray. I'm kind of processing that one a little bit.
They're moving. They're looking to move up.
Potentially. It might be nothing, but that could be the first hint of how this is going to go down, right?
Who could they move up with? Let's see.
To get Kyler Murray?
To get Kyler Murray. Well, you know it's got to be in the top five.
Well, they better.
Oh, there you go. There's your Jets pick at three.
But there's no guarantee you're going to get Kyler Murray at three.
Okay, but let's just... Okay, follow me here. Cardinals take Bosa.
Okay.
The 49ers take Quinnen Williams.
Okay.
The Jets are going to trade out. You've been saying this for a long
time. From day one, yeah.
This falls in line with the Washington moves up to three. They get Kyler Murray at three. They trade with the Jets.
Yeah,
they have to get ahead of the Raiders.
I could see that.
You have to get ahead of the Raiders, or the Raiders take him at four. So you got to go to three.
I get that, but you only do that if you're absolutely convinced the Cardinals aren't going to take him at number one. Right? I mean, you can't go up to number three and get Kyler Murray if Kyler Murray's not there at number
Kyler
three.
Kyler Murray was just here. He left. Now he's going to go be with the Redskins. Maybe he didn't get any guarantees that he's going number one.
Interesting. Right? I agree the Jets could be the spot, but it seems like that, again, if you want to, you're wagering, if you're Washington, that the Cardinals don't love Kyler Murray that much if you're only going to get the three, right? You're kind of taking a gamble that the Cardinals don't love him enough to take him at number one. You better be right if you're Washington. You better be right.
I don't think I could get him to visit unless I'm convincing him that I'm in talks to move up.
Totally agree.
Like, I'm going to get in the top five to get you. I'm going to get in the top five.
Maybe. That may, look, we're going to try to get in the top five. We want to work you out.
It's your Jets theory. You've been on this. You've been on it since day one.
Yeah, no, I have. I just don't know if three gets you, Kyler Murray. I don't. I don't know if that's. I think you might have to go a little higher. You might have to go all the way to the deluxe apartment in the sky. All the way to the penthouse.
You want the top floor.
Right? I think you might have to go to the penthouse if you're going to get Kyler Murray. Perhaps. Perhaps. But interesting.
Very you guys interesting. Need to go watch the Jeffersons. Did they rerun? Do they do reruns anywhere?
Maybe on TV you have to watch Land or something like that.
It's such a great.
You don't have to.
I'll get right on it.
He owned a dry cleaning store, didn't he? Didn't he own dry cleaners?
Yes, he owned dry cleaners.
Dry cleaners.
Yeah. Wasn't it a spinoff of All in the Family?
It was. It was. I think it was. How did they spin that off? I can't remember exactly.
He moved into the neighborhood or something, and then he moved to a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Or wasn't like the Jefferson's daughter dating Archie's son? Wasn't the Jefferson's...
Archie didn't have a son. He had Meathead, was his son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the son-in-law.
Oh, that's
Meathead.
Right, because, you know, okay, I'm getting my 70s sitcoms all confused.
Yeah, no, Jefferson, his wife was Louise.
Weezy. He called her Weezy.
Weezy!
Speaking of Washington, Mike Garofalo on the NFL Network says Washington is not actively chasing Josh Rosen. No, because they've got a workout schedule with Kyler Murray. Of course they're not.
They have done a little bit of homework here, or at least tried to figure out what the Cardinals' price would be, but they're not actively chasing him, and I don't know that they have a hard offer on the table, because I know for a fact that they are still going through the motions with the guys in the draft currently, and that they've had made no firm decision about, are we going to draft a guy, or are we going to go the Josh Rosen route, or try to trade for somebody.
You've done some reporting on this. You say there are six teams that are interested in Josh Rosen. Yeah, the Washington's one of them.
They are. They still have interest.
We just don't know the level of interest. Yeah. Is their level of interest matching what the Cardinals are hoping to get for a Josh Rosen trade, if it even comes to that?
So anybody say, oh, this team doesn't have any interest in Josh. If you don't have a quarterback and Josh Rosen's available, you're interested. There's six teams interested from what I'm being told. Now, the level of interest is something that I don't know and we could debate. I mean, so somebody's saying Washington's not interested. Really? What if I told you that the Cardinals are willing to take a fourth round pick for Josh Rosen? You're damn right they're interested.
You would think.
They might do it for a third. So the level of interest, if there are six teams interested in Josh Rosen, if he's available, which I'm still being told he's not being shopped, you might have three teams interested in acquiring him if the price is a third round pick.
At some point.
You might have two that are interested if the price is a second round pick. You might have none or one at a first round pick. Not everybody's going to have the same level.
At some point, the Cardinals are going to, if this is the path they're going down, at some point they're going to have to shop him. I mean, we are rapidly approaching the day when the Cardinals are going to have to say, okay, that's it, he's for sale. That's it. We're moving Josh. We want to move Josh Rosen. I mean, we're getting there. We're getting real close to there, aren't we? Draft's 2 weeks from tomorrow. How much longer, especially if teams start to make moves to move up in the draft for quarterbacks they want, the minute they do that, they're out of the running for Josh Rosen. So the minute, you know what I mean? So at some point, if you're the Cardinals, you if this is your plan, taking Murray number one and trading Josh Rosen, you can only play the card of we're not shopping him, we're not. At some point, you do have to shop him. At some point, you do have to go down there. And I would think we are pretty quickly approaching that time. Because what you don't want to have happen is Washington go, you know what? I don't think Rosen's available. Screw it. Let's move up to...
You're right.
Let's move up to nine so we can get Dwayne Haskins or the Giants
people
going.
People don't want to know. You met with Murray. You taking him or not? You met with them. Let's go. It's over. Let's go. You don't need anything else.
Yep.
Was he there? He was there. You met with him. He was there 24 hours. Okay. You taking him or not? What are you going to do?
Because if you're not, I got to figure something else out.
Right.
I got to figure out whether I'm drafting somebody. I got to figure out whether I'm giving up assets to move up to draft somebody.
If you're taking him, then you're trading Rosen. I'm interested. Yep. If you're not taking him, you're keeping Rosen. I got to figure out if I want to take Haskins or Locke or do something else. So this is the point right now where if I'm another team, I've got to start pushing the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I got to start pushing. You met with the kid. Tell me what you're going
to
do now.
Igor Kokoschkov will be the first to admit the Suns season did not go the way he wanted. Is the coach going to get a second chance? We'll talk about that and try to answer that question next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The biggest, most pressing decision for the Phoenix Suns this offseason will be the future of Igor Kokoschkov. We're still waiting on official word on the hiring of Jeff Bauer. That has not happened yet, but as Sarah mentioned in the SportsCenter update just a second ago, he is fully expected to be the senior VP of basketball operations for the team. What level of authority that gives him in decision-making still remains to be seen, but I think what you said earlier in the week probably applies. At the end of the day, it's still a James Jones, Robert Sarver decision, and Bauer is there to collaborate and advise and that sort of thing.
He's a voice of reason. He's experienced. I think James Jones will be the GM. He'll make the decisions, but he'll have somebody there that knows the cap. You need to work together as a group with these things. And I've talked with many NBA executives. It's not a one-man band. It's a lot of times you do have certain guys. You do have somebody ultimately that is in charge. And that's what I think a lot of Suns fans may have even wanted that they hired a GM that would be in charge. But this organization is high on James Jones. They are. And we've spoken with James enough. I think he knows what he's doing. The perception around the league is he's very well liked. He's very well respected. So he's the guy that they want to groom. But now they're bringing in a guy as the senior vice president of basketball operations to really help groom him. I'm here. I'm going to assist you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you my advice. And whether you take it or not, but this is what I would do. And he's probably going to listen to him because he's a young, inexperienced general manager. So they'll have a guy that's been through these processes, knows what he's doing right there alongside
him. I admire your optimism about this.
I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out.
I kind of feel like this is just more of the same when it comes to the Suns and how they run things over there. Hope I'm wrong. But look, I admittedly, I'm that guy firmly in the hire a really good general manager and stay out of his way and let him do his job camp. I mean, that's me. And you know that. You know I've been that way for the better part of a year.
All the sense in the world.
When it comes to this organization.
They don't want to lose James Jones.
Because
they got a guy that they like. And they don't want to lose the guy, because if they did do that, he'd probably go somewhere else.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what exactly James has done yet to deserve that sort of trust, that sort of belief, compared to other guys who have resumes that show great success, and tremendous accomplishments as basketball front office guys.
And I'll just give you an example. And listen, I'm not saying this is the be all end all, but I mean, Jerry Colangelo once hired his son to be the GM. He didn't have any experience, just maybe like a scout or something like that. He was 28 years old when Brian got the job as the GM.
True.
He was a 28-year-old GM. He was the owner's son. And everybody would say, oh, it's nepotism. Brian ended up being a pretty good GM.
He
ended up being a good general manager. So at the time when he was young and everything, that got knocked quite a bit. Oh, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Father looking over his shoulder, who there's was considered no one of the most respected executives in the history of the league.
There's no doubt.
That's a soft landing for Brian, to say the least, when he got that gig.
But he ended up doing a good job. And even when Robert Sarver took over the ownership, Brian was still the general manager.
Of course.
And Brian did a good job.
Look, I'm not anti no experience. I get it. There have been examples in the past of guys, first timers, who come out and do a great job. It feels like, and I don't want to speak for all Suns fans, but I think I speak for a bunch, that with this particular regime in particular, they thrive on the first timers. They're big believers in the first timers. They're almost allergic to the experience factor. And I know Bauer brings experience with him, but he's not going to be the primary decision maker when it comes to basketball ops for the Phoenix Suns. He's got the title, but he's not going to have that power.
You know what? It gives you a taste of what a lot of people wanted, but it doesn't go all the way. It doesn't give you a guy in that with a lot of experience that has full autonomy to do whatever he wants, because that's what people want. I mean, that's what, you know, they want somebody to come in and just have full autonomy and run the organization and fix this thing.
Yep.
Get this team back to the playoffs. Get this team. But they did hire somebody with experience to aid and assist James and Trevor and try to get this turned around. We'll see if this model works for them. And like I said, it goes about halfway. It doesn't give people what they wanted 100%, but it gives them what they wanted about 50%.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. At this point, I can do nothing but guess on this particular topic. But if I were to guess, my guess is that Igor Kokoschkov would not return as the head coach of the Suns next year. That's not based off of anything other than just sort of I'm reading the break of the green, trying to figure out where the putt's going to go.
But what does it mean that he survived today, that they didn't make a decision right away?
Well, it means that Bauer's not officially in place yet, for one.
That's right.
Number two, it means that when you're contemplating getting rid of yet another coach, I mean, that would be what,
Triano.
Watson.
Hornacek. Was that 4 years ago? Because Jen Jeff went to the Knicks. Watson was here like part of one season, then a full season, and then part of another season, and then Triano. So, yeah, I guess it is 4 seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is.
Your fourth coach in 4 seasons. And so there should be a great deal of, okay, let's really make sure about this before we do this. Because if we do this, once again, we're going to get brandished as a bunch of impatience. If he's the wrong guy, he's the wrong guy. And if he's not fit to be the coach of the Phoenix Suns, then you do need to move on. But again, this will circle back to the decision makers who are choosing these coaches and will say, what are you guys doing? I mean, you can't pick one of these guys to save your life. I mean, you're changing one every single year. At some point, this has to be about you and your selection process and not the coach.
Who's doing the selecting? Because they could easily make the argument that the last GM did the selecting here.
I'm sure Robert's that got you his want, fingerprints you got a new, all over who
you got
the coach
a
is
new
gonna
front
be.
Office, and you want them to select who the coach is going to be. You can make that argument.
You could make that argument, but I don't know if it has a lot of credibility to it. You know, I think you could use that as a reason why. Well, the previous regime, the previous general manager picked Igor Kokoschkov. We kind of want to pick our own guy. Okay, I'll buy that. But through it all, Robert Sarver, who is very active when it comes to his ownership, he's the constant. And that's the one thing that you can't avoid when you're kind of analyzing all this, is to say how much of this is him when it comes to signing off on who the coach is going to be.
A whole heck of a lot.
A whole heck of a lot.
A whole heck of a lot.
A whole heck of a lot. And that's, you know, these are the same problem. This is nothing new. These are the same problems. And I guess that's sort of why, if I were to guess, I would guess no on Igor.
I don't know. I don't get a good read either way right now. I'll try to. I don't know. I mean, I really don't. He didn't get fired today. They didn't make any changes today. I think they'll wait it out. I mean, what you said before is probably right, that they'll wait for Bowers to come in and get involved and start working on day-to-day stuff, and then all get together and then make a decision on where they want to go. What's available? What coaches are out there? What coaches could they get? Who could they bring in that might be better? Do the follow-up on the exit interviews. What did guys say in the exit interviews? You know, what do they feel about where the organization's headed and the game plan? What do you want to do? What's the game plan going forward? Does it fit what Igor's best style is? I mean, there's a lot of things that you will now evaluate over the next few days to determine whether he is a good fit for you as coach.
This Friday, 2 days from now, Gambo and I are going to be hanging out at the Walmart off of Deer Valley Road and Lake Pleasant Parkway. We're going to be in Peoria on Friday from 2 until 6. On site with Woodford Reserve. I have friends who know bourbon and they love Woodford Reserve.
Is this bottle engraving?
This is bottle engraving. complimentary bottle engraving with the purchase of Woodford Reserve, the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby.
Ooh.
For complete details and a special discount from Lyft for a safe ride, text Derby, D-E-R-B-Y, to 62620.
So this is this Friday.
This Friday.
At a Walmart?
Lake Pleasant Parkway and Deer Valley Road. Okay. Walmart in Peoria will be there from 2 until 6 with complimentary bottle engraving.
Wow.
It has become a trademark of the Hazen Lovello D-backs era, and even when dealing with injuries, the Arizona decision makers are sticking to their guns. They just can't quit the three catchers. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
Diamondbacks baseball coming up tonight here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The conclusion of their brief two-game series against the Texas Rangers as the Diamondbacks look for the sweep. It doesn't even feel right to call it a sweep. It's a two-game series. But yeah. A two-game sweep.
Whatever. Sweep them. Just win.
If you bring a broom to the game tonight, I may or may not judge that. You know,
it's got to be three.
You can't bring a physical broom to the ballpark with you unless it's a three or four game sweep. I just don't think you can go waving around a broom for a two game sweep.
What about one of those handheld dustpan things?
Maybe like a dustpan or a dust buster, maybe. But an actual physical broom, I just don't think you can bring that to the ballpark for a two game sweep.
I'll buy that.
You with me on that one?
Yeah.
I just don't think that counts.
Two game sweep, bringing a broom.
Tonight's pitching matchup brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. B-U-R-G Simpson.com. Robbie Ray on the hill tonight for the Diamondbacks. The lefty 0-1 with a 4.35 ERA. His last start against the Padres, he went 5 1/3. He gave up 2 earned runs. Still with the walks, he had 5 of them. But he struck out 3. He only threw 89 pitches in that game. But it was better. Still the issue with the walks, though.
Going up against Lance Lynn, 0-1 with a 6.39 ERA. And one good start, one bad start for Lance Lynn, former Cardinal, Yankee. But you're right, Robbie Ray, you know, the key to Robbie Ray is, man, we all want to see Robbie Ray pitch into the seventh inning. We want to see him go deeper in these games. I just got a note from the Diamondbacks, fantastic PR guy, Casey Wilcox. Just saying, on our interleague play sweeps, with a win today, the D-backs would have their fourth two-game home interleague sweep all time. They did it against the Angels, they did it against the Rays, and a doubleheader versus the Rangers. Uh-huh. So this would be their fourth two-game home interleague sweep.
Yeah, he touched.
Whether you believe that's legit or not, that's the fourth time.
No, hold on.
I'm going to the game tonight. Go get me a dustpan. I'll bring it with me.
It's a sweep. I just don't know if it's a bring a broom to a ballpark kind of sweep.
Right.
Casey, don't get all bothered by this. Mm. It's a sweep. It counts. I just don't know if a two-gamer is the kind you go bring in a broom to the ballpark.
Maybe just like a dustbuster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like a dustpan. A little handheld broom if you want. Just not the big broom. Mm-hmm. Just not the big broom. That's all I'm saying right there. But thank you, Casey Wilcox, the fine media relations guy for the Arizona Diamondbacks. We appreciate his input as always. Today, Joey Lovello and the Diamondbacks made it official, and man, the Diamondbacks are just addicted to the three catcher thing. They just cannot quit it.
They
cannot quit the three catcher thing.
They didn't know what to do but to themselves ever since Alex Avila got hurt. It was like,
I'm jonesing for a third catcher.
I gotta have
a third catcher. Give me a third catcher.
What happens if we go to extra innings?
So they got Caleb Joseph. They called him up today.
Super excited to have Caleb back. He was a late send out in spring training, and those are always very difficult, especially with what he's offered the major league team, the Baltimore Orioles, that he had such a huge part, was such a huge part of. So glad that he's back. As far as the role and what he's going to do, so still trying to slot that in. We haven't got all of the starters from San Diego. I know they're rotating down here from San Francisco, so I haven't been able to project anything, but he's going to catch. He's here to help us win some baseball games.
I mean, John Ryan Murphy, Carson Kelly, those are the catchers. Now, we know Avila, we've been told Avila's not going to be out very long, so right. It wasn't like whatever they did was going to be a long-lasting solution anyway. But there was a lot of speculation with Avila going on the injured list that they would use these 10 days to kind of veer off in a different direction and add something else, so with more versatility, infield, outfield, whatever the case may be. I know some people had speculated on Tomas, though Tomas was not on the 40-man roster.
Every time somebody speculates on Tomas, he's not on the 40-man roster. He's not coming. He's not, because you have to take somebody off the 40-man roster, expose them, and then put them on. Yeah. I mean, I just don't know. We're going to see Tomas. I mean, tear it up in AAA, and then, you know, maybe you could trade him. I mean, that's just it. So it's, you got to concentrate on. So I said the other day, they're going to make a move. Duplantier is likely going to be sent down, but it's not going to be Yasmani Tomas.
Yeah, so it was not, and I just thought it might be something else, figuring you could go 10 days without having three catchers, but here's Lavello.
They can't go 10 minutes not carrying three
catchers. And that's kind of what Lavello said today.
He's actually feeling very good. How long it'll be, we're not exactly sure. But this is more a product of the system that we've run here with three catchers. We want to get that third guy in here. Let me maneuver a little bit early with the catcher if possible and not be caught shorthanded. So that's just the decision that we made last night after leaving here, that we want to get back to that three catcher system. But it's no indication as to what the length of time Alex is going to be gone.
And here's the thing. I'll say this in defense of Torrey and the organization every time we kind of make fun of the three catcher thing. In defense of it, it's worked.
It's been successful.
It's worked. But, I mean, we can mock it all we want, but they've spent, you can count on one hand, I think, the number of days the Diamondbacks have been a sub-500 team under Torrey Lovello and Mike Hazen. I mean, it works, for lack of a better word.
I do think Carson Kelly's going to be a guy that's going to end up getting a majority of playing time. They are going to try to groom him to be like the number one guy. That's they might, if he ends up being really good, they might just go to two catchers at that point. But in the meantime, they've never had any studs. You know, your Mathis that doesn't hit, and Avila didn't hit, and John Ryan Murphy didn't hit. So it's all defense. And the days of having Johnny Bench, Carlton Fisk, Thurman Munson, Jim Sundberg, Daryl Porter, like those days are over.
Yeah.
The days of like everybody had a great catcher that caught 150 games, that doesn't happen anymore.
Here's an interesting stat for you if you're so inclined. Zach Greinke threw three starts so far this year. His first time through the lineup, teams are hitting .522 against him. His second time through the lineup, it goes down to .192. His third time through the lineup, it goes down to .118.
That's the total reverse of what it's supposed to be.
I know.
It's supposed to be the exact opposite. That by the time you go through the lineup the third time, you get clobbered, and that's why you come out. That is that bucks every trend that you're supposed to have for a pitcher.
So
it just does.
Here's Lavello talking about Greinke's early struggles and how he doesn't think they'll linger.
He acknowledged that it's been happening, and he has vowed to improve. And that's one of the beauties of Zach. Working through his limitations, he confronts them. He's aware of them, and I feel like it's something that won't linger beyond this next start, because he's going to work hard to get through those first couple of innings in typical Zach fashion.
He's had early problems in every game he's had so far this year. Dodgers, Padres, last night against the Rangers, he got into trouble early. He didn't get any help from his defense. Wilmer Flores, in particular,
I just made the one bad play. Flores, he was just so far out of position. And when he came and he got the ball, he just couldn't, transfer it from his glove to his hand to make the flip to second base. Ended up being an error, a run scored, but they were able to come back and win the game.
But still, a .522 batting average the first time through the lineup is a .522 batting average the first time through the lineup.
Listen to this number. Lance Lynn, 9 starts against the Diamondbacks. 5-0.
Oh, yeah, he's been very good against
them. 2.95 yep. ERA. Struck out 48, walked 20. His numbers against the Diamondbacks are phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. He has always done very well against the Diamondbacks. Always, always, always. So we'll see as the Diamondbacks go for the Dustbuster sweep tonight. Then they've got the Padres in town tomorrow night for the first of four, the beginning of a four-game series there. I know Gambo's heading down to the ballpark.
I'm going to go tonight.
Now.
I'm going to go tomorrow, see Texas, see the Padres. So I always try to see one team. at least one game for every series.
Yes.
Try.
So we'll have much more on this game tomorrow. D-backs baseball is coming up next. We're back tomorrow here on the Burns and Gambo show for a big Thursday edition. Baseball, a lot of NFL draft, the latest on the Suns. That's coming up tomorrow here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Have a good night, everyone.
You've been listening to D-backs on Deck, presented by Ram Trucks, built to serve. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.